This is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Everyone has heard about the dangers of too much salt in the diet. What if everything we've been told about salt is wrong? A leading cardiovascular research scientist and doctor of pharmacy joins us to debunk our conventional way of thinking about salt. He will share the bitter facts, how we need more salt, not less, if we want to lose weight, have more energy, and prevent many diseases. Don't go anywhere. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is a cardiovascular research scientist and doctor of pharmacy. He's a respected and internationally known scientist who's authored and co-authored 200 medical publications. His research has been featured in the New York Times, Good Morning America, Time, Fox News, U.S. News and World Report, and Forbes, just to name a few. Welcome author of The Salt Fix, Why the Experts Got It All Wrong, and How Eating More Might Save Your Life, Dr. James Nicolantonio.
Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you. Very interesting topic. You know, salt has gotten such a bad rap for contributing to high blood pressure and cardiovascular disease, but your book shares how we need salt to survive and protect us from these diseases. Tell us why salt has gotten such an undeserved bad reputation.
Well, I think we've forgotten that salt is an essential mineral and that our body controls its intake. And so the reason why it's gotten a bad rep is because everybody views salt as just increasing blood pressure and causing hypertension. There's never been any proof that it does that. And so there's so many things that cause us to lose salt, like low-carb diets, exercise, drinking caffeine. And so in modern-day societies where we have all these chronic disease states that also cause us to not absorb salt well or lose salt, we actually need more salt than most people think.
All right. So for the listeners that have only heard bad things about salt and think salt has no value, share some of the benefits of sodium in our body. What do we need salt for?
Yeah, sodium helps us absorb water-soluble vitamins in the intestines. So we absorb vitamin C and biotin because sodium brings those water-soluble vitamins into the intestine, allows them to absorb. We also can absorb vitamin C is driven into the brain by sodium, and it's driven into the bones by sodium. And there's so many other tasks that sodium does, but it maintains our blood pressure. And I know everybody views blood pressure as being a bad thing, but we need a blood pressure. And so without that, the heart wouldn't beat. Without salt. And, you know, the chloride part of salt, which is the other half of salt, is a part of our stomach acid. So we can digest foods and we don't get bacterial overgrowth and we can absorb nutrients. So not getting enough salt is a big issue.
Yeah, you know, my thinking is the human body contains approximately 70% salt water, so it makes sense when we sweat, we would need to replenish our sodium, which is why so many sport drinks contain salt and drinking pickle juice now has become such a trend. But what about someone who's overweight, sits in front of a computer all day and watches TV at night eating salty potato chips? Would he be the exception to someone that needs more salt in the diet?
Yeah, so definitely what my book is not advocating eating processed food. It's saying that salt is our key to eating healthy and exercising because salt provides flavor and allows us to eat those bitter foods that are high in magnesium and potassium, like bitter greens, nuts, and seeds that we never would have consumed without salt. And so really the message is eat real food and use some really good salts and salt to taste.
Wow, that's interesting. So when someone is diagnosed, let me get this right, with high blood pressure, first thing the doc's going to say is you got to eliminate salt from their diet, and you believe that a low sodium diet causes high blood pressure. How is that so, and what do people do when their doctor tells them opposite?
Yeah, it's a great question. So how low salt diets can potentially lead to hypertension is they activate all the artery stiffening hormones, aldosterone, renin, angiotensin II. We actually block those hormones with medications to lower blood pressure and to prevent cardiovascular disease. And low-salt diets also activate chronic stress hormones like noradrenaline and adrenaline. We get those when we run, but those are only supposed to be activated acutely. When we cut our salt intake, those hormones are chronically activated. And the worst part about it is when we cut our salt intake, we can become insulin resistant and have elevated levels of the fat-storing hormone insulin. So people who are overweight and high blood pressure, low-salt diets may make the situation worse by causing insulin resistance.
Yeah, and you bring that up. I'm glad you did. You mentioned that salt in the diet can shift the body into semi-starvation mode and cause the insulin resistance, which can lead to the body absorbing too much fat. So what you're basically saying is if we salt our food more, will we curb our appetite and keep our blood sugar more balanced?
That's absolutely correct, because our body drives us to consume an optimal amount of salt. And when we consume these low-salt processed foods, we end up craving more of them. We end up consuming 2 to 3 times more of those low-salt potato chips. So now you've just consumed 2 to 3 times more processed carbs and sugar. Whereas if you just salted the food and you eat real food, you're going to curb that sugar cravings, that increased hunger, and that constant feeling like you're not satiated.
Right. I know I've read that the CDC says the average American adult consumes more than twice the recommended 1,500 milligrams of sodium per day. Now, in your book, you say 3,000 to 4,000 milligrams per day is ideal. So should we ignore all the low salt labels that we see on foods?
Yeah, I mean, well, think about it. We can lose up to a full teaspoon of salt just by consuming 4 cups of coffee. And yet every guideline tells us to consume less than a teaspoon. And we also lose up to a half to a full teaspoon of salt per hour of exercise through sweat. And so if these guidelines are telling us to consume less than that, you can see how, you know, 90% of Americans who consume some form of caffeine could get themselves into a really big issue with salt deficiency. And one of the key facts in my book is that I advocate really healthy salts to consume, salts that have good amounts of other minerals, not necessarily your good old table salt, Morton table salt.
Right. So, yeah, let's talk about that. I know there's several different kinds. You've got the pink Himalayan salt. I've seen black volcanic salt. Is there one that's better, or are they equal to the white table processed salt?
Yeah, there's definitely my two favorite salts are Redmond Real Salt and Ancient Lakes Magnesium Salt. Both of them are from ancient oceans. And so the benefit of getting a salt from an ancient ocean is you're not getting the pollution from a modern-day ocean, which can have microplastics and heavy metal toxicity. And so that's one of the benefits of those two salts. But what's also good is the Ancient Lakes salt has really high magnesium, and the Redmond Real Salt has really good amounts of iodine. And so most salts don't have good amounts of magnesium. If you look at Himalayan salt, it only has 1.4 milligrams per 10 grams of salt, whereas the Ancient Lake salt can have up to 180 milligrams of magnesium per 10 grams of salt, giving you some other minerals in a real consequential amount.
So when picking, so if people see Himalayan salt, is that better than the white processed salt that's clear white?
It is, but it's so expensive and you're not getting really good amounts of magnesium. You can get some fairly good amounts of iodine, but again, it's really not sourced from that ancient ocean, that purest salt that you really want, those top-tier salts being Ancient Lakes Magnesium or Redmond Real Salt.
Is that something you find in stores, or is that kind of a niche market there that people have to go and find?
Yeah, well, the Ancient Lake salt you can get online, but Redmond you can also get online, but Redmond has a good basis in the western coast of the United States that you can just get either online or in stores.
Got it. So let me get this straight, because listeners are listening. Now, if people, they're used to buying the low-sodium V8 juice, that they shouldn't be reaching for that. They can grab the regular option with no worries?
So I can't give, like, personal health advice, but my opinion is that when you cut your salt intake, there's a lot of harm that can happen. It's been shown to activate platelets, increase blood viscosity, activate stress hormones, which can lead to a heart attack or stroke. And there's also, when we don't consume enough salt, the body will pull sodium from the bone to maintain normal sodium levels, and they'll pull magnesium and calcium with it. So low-salt diets have been shown to actually cause depletion of calcium and magnesium in your body. So one of the benefits of making sure you're consuming enough salt is actually your body not stripping itself of sodium, calcium, and magnesium.
Interesting. What about people that just down water all day? I mean, water, just plain water. My thinking, and I'm a person that looks at common sense as well. If we're made out of salt water and you're drinking a bunch of water that's no salt at all, wouldn't you need extra salt to add?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And this is a really big issue in athletes. So up to 20% of people who run a marathon or finish a triathlon have low sodium levels in the blood, partly because they're not adding the salt back that they're losing in sweat, and they're just drinking plain water. And in the book, I go over that salt is like our sixth factor in fitness. It provides us increased blood circulation. It lowers heart rate. It can prevent muscle spasms and muscle cramping, and it can prevent overtraining syndrome. And so salting prior to exercise, potentially one of the healthiest things that athletes can do. But very few athletes know about this because we're so afraid of salt being some type of dietary demon when it's an essential mineral.
Right, that makes sense. Now, I know in your book you share how having less salt can increase obesity. Share how salting your food more can help us lose weight. Is it because it increases the taste and we get more satisfied quicker, or what's the theory?
Well, One thing for sure we know, I mean, I can speak as a parent. My kids won't eat healthy foods without salt added to them. They're not going to eat their vegetables. They're not going to eat their nuts or seeds without putting salt on it. So salt is your key to eating healthy food, which can maintain an optimal weight. And so that is one of the best benefits of salt, is it provides flavor. But the other aspect of getting enough salt is if you don't get enough, you can become insulin resistant. And it's a body safety mechanism, because higher insulin levels, while they store more fat, they also allow the kidney to absorb more salt. And so when you go on a low-salt diet, your insulin, that fat-storing hormone, goes up. So every calorie you consume on a low-salt diet, you're probably storing more as fat than had you not just consumed a normal amount of salt.
Right. Interesting. You know, some of the stuff makes sense, and I've always thought this, but there's one thing in your book that kind of made my mouth drop, is how salt restriction primes us for sugar and drug addiction. Explain that.
Yeah, so, well, we know that animals somehow have this mechanism where if they're depleted of salt, they somehow know to go to a salt lick. And what the evidence is showing is that when we become depleted in salt, and this happens in animals as well, the brain's reward system gets activated. It's our protective mechanism to get a greater craving for salt, and when we got it in the diet, consume more of it. The problem is when we get an activated reward system in the brain when we consume low-salt diets, sugar and processed foods and even drugs of abuse may be able to hijack that activated reward system. So literally, low-salt diets can potentially predispose to sugar and drug addiction.
Wow, that's interesting. You know, I'm having deja vu right now of my segment with cardiologist Dr. Steven Sinatra, author of The Great Cholesterol Myth. He proved how we need more cholesterol, not less, to be healthy. And here you are telling us the same thing about salt. Have you gotten any resistance from colleagues who, after they read your book, embrace what you share and go, I get it now?
No, that's such a great question. That's exactly what's happening. So I have over 500 references in the salt fix. And when doctors actually sit down and take the time to read the book, they're completely blown away. I mean, one of the biggest takeaway points is that the increase in heart rate that happens on a low-salt diet almost always outweighs any type of blood pressure-lowering benefit. So whenever we hear about, well, low-salt can lower blood pressure, well, it also activates heart rate. And in the book, I explain that even a reduction in blood pressure is probably just volume depletion and dehydration and isn't even a good reduction in blood pressure. It's basically like telling someone to only consume one cup of water when you put them on a low-salt diet. It's not necessarily healthy.
Got it. So really, it's about balance. You're saying, you know, like you mentioned, don't eat the potato chips. Let's get this straight. He's not saying to go get these potato chips that have salt. He's saying salt can accentuate healthy, good, whole food, you know, meals, correct? And that way you're eating. So you're just increasing the flavoring as well. That's right. How can people tell? I'm curious, if their blood sodium is too low, are there signs and symptoms, or is there a blood test we should take?
Well, more important than sodium levels in the blood is salt deficiency, because what happens, even if you're deficient in salt, your body will strip itself of sodium. It'll pull sodium from other parts of the body to maintain a normal sodium level in the blood. So you can absolutely be deficient in salt but have normal sodium levels in the blood. And so really the best signs of salt deficiency are dizziness and lightheadedness from going from a seated to a standing position, or exercise intolerance with muscle cramps and spasms, or overtraining syndrome, or when you go from a seated to a standing position. 3 million Americans have a syndrome called POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, where when they go from a seated to a standing position too quickly, they get an over 30 beat per minute increase in heart rate. And salt, I've had people tell me that drinking pickle juice almost instantly basically cures that symptom as they're having that episode.
Wow. So really, it's kind of like calcium. If you're deficient in calcium, your body will take it from the bone and teeth and bring it into the bloodstream. So it's similar.
Exactly.
So it's hard to really isolate except for symptoms. And while you're an advocate of eating more salt, you're not a fan of the other white crystal, sugar. Why is sugar so bad and salt has become the redheaded stepchild of spices?
Well, it's kind of crazy, but basically they're complete opposite. Even though these two white crystals look the same, salt is almost like the antidote to sugar. And we know this because salt helps curb sugar cravings. Salt improves insulin resistance, whereas sugar can cause insulin resistance, pre-diabetes and diabetes. And the process, people get confused. I'm not saying fruit is bad, but when you take, let's say, cane sugar, and you strip it of all its fiber, you boil it down, and you remove all the vitamins and minerals, and then you purify it. You basically have this chemical powder, this white substance that's been refined basically to the point of substances of abuse. And now it is super rewarding. It's something we've never been able to consume in the diet when it's just in this purified form. And so it's not that sugar's bad from real food. It's when you refine it down to a pure white crystal where it becomes potentially addictive.
Right. Yeah, I'm on board with the sugar being, you know, restricted there and that being an issue. Of course, that's until I interview an author that proves we need more sugar in the diet. And if that happens, I'm going to have you, Dr. Sinatra, and the sugar endorser on the same show to promote an Add More Salt, More Sugar, and Eat More Hamburgers for Good Health show.
Sounds good.
I doubt we're going to have that, though. I don't think anyone's going to be able to show more sugars is better, but the salt makes so much sense. Let me ask you, why do you think such North and South Pole research on salt exists and has for so many decades?
So basically what's happened is we focused on one surrogate marker, blood pressure, and all the low-salt advocates have just ignored or swept under the rug all the harms. And so my book really reveals all of those harms and all the benefits of salt. Very few researchers have ever shown how beneficial salt just is in the body. And so when people can finally understand the functions of salt in the body and they realize how many things rely upon salt, they can start having an open mind in a discussion beyond just blood pressure.
Right. And, you know, the saying is you are what you eat. And you know, we are, 70% salt water. So it just makes sense here, common sense, that we can't say salt is bad. It just doesn't make it. If it's bad, then what we are inside is bad. It's just
exactly.
Common sense.
And, I mean, if you look at some of the longest living populations, Japan and South Korea, they eat the highest amounts of salt. So even from a population level, there's actually opposite evidence showing that actually higher salt consumption may be beneficial.
That's great. In the minute or two we have left, anything else that our listeners need to know about the salt fix? Why should they grab this book?
Yeah, so they can go to thesaltfix.com if they want to grab it. And basically, I show people what the best salts are, how much you need before exercise, and some of the best ways to integrate salt into your diet to help curb sugar cravings and help start shedding the pounds.
Great. Fascinating information, Doc. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, that's great. To get your copy of The Salt Fix, visit thesaltfix.com. This outside-the-box book has hundreds of scientific references that will make you doubt everything you ever thought you knew about salt. It's a must-read. You can follow Dr. James DeNicantonio on Twitter at Dr. James DeNic. That's spelled D-I-N-I-C. For my daily health tweets, follow me at Dr. David Friedman. Stay up to date on all of our latest health and wellness segments at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio, or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.